So, yo, this is Redman in the building. Right now, you are checking out my boy, Mr. A, at the set. Talking about real life, education, community, addiction, and just real people in general. So, Mr. A, let's get this shit going on. Light your blunts, fasten your seat belts, and squeeze on your girl titty. Ow! Mr. A, at the set, is starting now.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Mr. A. And tonight is a special edition episode of The Set 6145. Tonight, my special guest is a personality from my neighborhood. And I come to discover this gentleman through, I would say, luck. Somebody I was doing work with, whom I know for many years, he happened to be doing work with. And I started doing some research on him, and I found him to be a very interesting character, to say the least. And I don't mean character like caricature or a funny guy. I just mean a person. Him as a person and the things that he does to his platform just struck a chord with me. And reached out. We started having a conversation, and I started to find out more and more about him. And I was like, wow, I got to sit this guy down and have a conversation with him. Because as always, you know, it's about real people telling real stories. And I was just like, hey, listen, let's make this happen, man. So tonight, the set welcomes Mr. Mindful Wizard, as you see in the ticker below. And this is being brought to you by Social Nostra. Social Nostra, a group of creatives that all come together to collaborate and be creative. So check us out on Social Nostra and Instagram. But tonight, the set welcomes the one and only Mindful Wizard. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Doing well, brother. Number one, God is good. Number two, I appreciate you for the opportunity. Shout out to Sunset. Shout out to a lot of amazing individuals coming together to make this happen. I'm honored. I've manifested opportunities like this for a long time. So I want to thank you for being someone that believed in what I can do and what I can offer. Thank you, brother.
Of course, of course. I'm very interested. I'm hoping that this conversation is going to go every which way, because again, looking at your gram, you know, there's so many different things that, you know, we could talk about. And if anybody is watching the show, you should be hearing mariachi in the background, because where the studio is located is also a community center, and there's children here practicing trumpet that are becoming mariachi players. I'm talking about anywhere from 8 years old to about 12. So if you hear it, you know, that's what it is. Shout out to the Profile Pod. I see you, Mano, all the way out west. So let's start from the beginning, because first and foremost, when I saw the name Mindful Wizard, I was just like, oh, all right, what is it? Does this guy play D&D? Like, where does this come from? Like, so where does the name Mindful Wizard come from?
That's a great question, and I think it's a perfect way to segue into how I became the person I am today.
Yes, sir.
So short version, I lost my eye to the streets, okay. Similar to, interestingly enough, in Sunset.
Oh, wow.
So I was attacked from my left eye, blinded. I had 8 surgeries, and ever since I grew up, I always felt like I was smart but in the wrong place, okay. And I was pretending. So Harry Potter, I don't know if you ever read Harry Potter, was a big moment in my life, because the character Harry felt like he was not welcomed in his own home.
Right.
You feel me? So I always gravitated towards that. And, you know, I was a sad kid growing up. I didn't really get the love that I felt like I deserved. So a lot of my stuff became creative. My father wasn't really into the creative. He's more of like the physical, the mechanics. Okay. So I never got that moment of like, yo, you know, I'm proud of you, son. Mm. So I think it started from just feeling like that. And then fast forward, you know, I thought I was always smart, so I called myself the Philosophical Wizard.
Oh, okay.
And as I evolved and evolved, I became the Mindful Wizard. So that name came from my evolution from philosophical, like, so let me actually do something out in these streets. Mm-hmm. And I worked in a jail.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've been working in a jail. So I worked in a jail for 3 years, and one of the benefits of the jail, and the sad side of it, was that I saw the young brothers and sisters from this community locked up. So when I went for the interview, the reason I got the job, besides my intelligence and the opportunities, thank God, and my licensing, came from a young man that said, yo, what you doing here? And I said, what you doing here? And he said, yo, you played ball with my brother. And I said, yeah, I know you. I recognize your face. What are you here? He's like, I'm locked up. I live here. So when he said that to me, it hit me. And I'm like, yo, I'm 23 years old. I'm out here trying to be cool and chase girls. I'm like, man, wake the fuck up. Our community is drowning. Like your man's brother.
His little brother.
His little man's. And I saw this kid, like, we used to send him to the store. The chiquito, el cabroncito, you know, little motherfucker. And now he's in jail. And I'm like, yo, I got to stop fucking around. I'm wasting time. So I evolved from philosophical to the mindful. And that's okay. How I got to this point.
So I have to ask, was it a local facility that you were working out of, that gym? Was it local, like in Brooklyn? Or was it like Rikers Island or Spofford? Or?
So it's a good question. And, you know, it was a facility in Crown Heights, New York.
Okay.
But it was privatized.
Right.
So I learned a lot about the prison system, conspiracy. Mm. That's where you get that conspiracy taste to me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, like, oh, you speak like if you know, and I do know, because I've been in the streets and I've also been in the jails.
Right.
And I've spoken to the supervisors at the jails, and I know what their incentives are, money, private, you know, privatizing prisons. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of incentives behind these things. But to answer your question, it was in Crown Heights. And I always thank God first, because I was going down a different path when I was 18, 19. And then when I got back from the surgery was when I met the principal of the jail.
Okay.
She gave me an opportunity because I spoke about a book. She offered me an interview. I went for the interview. I went from working in Barnes & Noble right here on 9th Street and 7th Avenue. Mm-hmm. I got promoted to a teacher. And from there, I knew I had a responsibility. So it's a long answer. I know it is. But I also want to share with you that after the year and a half of the first jail, I was promoted to a second jail where we worked from every single juvenile that was ever arrested in New York City came through our facility, like every single one.
Wow.
Talking about killers to, I don't know, weed charges.
Yeah.
And I met every single one. I had a kid that was 7 years old in my jail.
How do you have a kid that's 7 years old? How was a 7 year old in jail is what I really want to wrap my head around.
It's a great question, brother. But what people don't understand is that life is different, man, for a lot of people. So
that's right.
So I talk a lot, but I'm also from a core. I'm from Sunset. I lost my eye. I have a lot to give back from the same community that took a lot from me.
Right.
And a lot of my people. So in that situation, these kids, sadly to say, are grown up in that. You know, that's their life. And
yeah.
I would talk to kids and I would be like, yo, why you so sweet? You so smart. Why are you into that blood shit so heavy? And he would tell me, there was kids that would tell me, like, yo, I live with 13 people and all of them is blood. How could I not be? And I'm like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And he would be like, what are you talking about? I got to do the blood shit. Like there was no connection. So,
yeah. I want to be alive.
Yeah, but it was like I need to be something gangster because that's the only thing I have.
Right.
So when I peeped that, I was like, oh, okay, I really need to do more. And for the 7 year old, these are serious crimes. Like the story that he told me was that his older brother was gonna get arrested for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking like 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then his man gave him a gun. This kid's 7 years old, shoots the gun so that the cops can arrest him. He does 6 months. His brother gets away with 2 pounds of drugs on him. So in theory, he did something noble. But if we take a step back and just like think about that, like why are 7 year olds in a position where they got to hold a gun? And this is real life. And I've also realized, if I may, that money plays a huge role in our lives. Like I've started to make more money and I've started to see another side of reality.
Mm.
And it's almost like it's meant to be this way. Right. Because who's going to. Let's say I want to go to MSG and I want to sit courtside. Who's going to scan my tickets? Who's going to let me in through security? So it's meant to be this way. And there's a reason that a very few people, especially our kind of people, get out the neighborhood. So it's meant to be this way, man.
Listen, I was really excited about having this conversation and it's already jumped off the deep end.
Oh, sorry.
No. This is specifically why I had you on. Because these are things... See, when you start peeling back the onion, so to speak, and you're sharing information with people that probably don't think about that or even know about that, that's the purpose. You got to share the information. You got to wake people up to this reality, because a lot of people think, oh, well, I was in the same neighborhood and I became a cop. Oh, I work for the MTA. Oh, I got a bodega. Why can't you just make good decisions? And I try to tell people, because, you know, you feel like you can really communicate and get through because they're really listening, but in reality, they're not. they're followers. They're in the program.
Yes, sir.
And then there's people like myself who are outside of the program and see what's going on and understand that reality is this. Listen, poverty is an extreme, expensive, most geared vehicle for crime.
Sir.
If you live in poverty, chances are you're going to resort to crime. And they don't even want to deal with that simple reality. So when you're talking and you're telling this story, I understand it clearly. But there's a lot of people who, again, they just believe, oh, I make good choices. Why can't you? Right?
So I'll jump in if I may.
Please.
I think the way that people will see this without being in it directly, the way I was and the way you and I are, is a simple money talks, right?
Yes.
So my in the real world, besides building Mindful Wizard, the brand, I'm also a dean of students at a special education high school. So I did a year and a half at the jails. I was promoted to another jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I started getting like, I need some more money. I need health insurance. I'm getting older. So then I became a dean of students, special education, 7 years.
Wow.
So now we're talking about that experience. I have two masters, one in kinesiology, another one in school-based leadership.
Oh, shit.
So I get to see it from all sides, from the top down, how they program how specific students, based on how much money their parents make, get to go to specific schools. So when people want to sit here and say it's not created, it is. And a lot of it is by the money. So let's get to the money. $4,000 for a general education student. That's what they're worth to the state. Not to me, to the state. $8,000 if you're special education. So now you're double what the state is charging per student. Now let's take it a step further. How much do you think, and this is to the audience, is a student incarcerated worth to the state?
Probably like $30,000.
Very good guess. $60,000 fucking dollars.
It's double my guess.
So when my CO friends, cops, whatever, correction officer friends would pull me to the side, they would be like, man, we don't need no damn teachers. We need more COs. He said, these kids, two of these kids pay both our salaries. And I sat there and I said, motherfucker, you part of the problem too. And that's where the mindfulness came from. Because I saw how the kids in jail would respond to yoga. We talking about killers fighting because they want 10 minutes of, you feel me? And that's when I'm like, bro, I got a purpose. And it makes sense why I'm sad. It makes sense why I feel this way. Because I connect with the people that need that help.
And not only that, you speaking right now, I'm going to turn my light on in a minute. You got the light from the outside. I look like I'm super trigueño right now.
Yeah.
You're speaking it, but you're seeing it in the empathy in you, because there's people that have no empathy.
Mm.
Like the CEOs you're talking about, oh, they pay our salaries. Bro, these are human beings. And if you just connected or found a way to properly connect with another human being, you could more than likely change the direction of their life.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why they've taken out education from the jails. And that's why they did all of that. You know what I'm saying?
It's your fault, because you're going to keep it. See, people like you keep me going. I try to keep it low profile, but there's actually a case out in Pennsylvania where they removed millions of books and the prisoners, the inmates, let me let the family in there. Let me remove those labels from them. Can only access 200 books. Think and Grow Rich, I believe, is removed. That's one of the books that changed my life. The Secret was removed. The Power of Now was removed. Why are you removing things that can save people from themselves? Because you know that we got to pay for the school. Jordan, a lot of people say, yo, you wear Yeezys all the time. I do. The question is, why don't I wear Jordans? Because when Jordan had the option of opening up a school or opening up a jail, what'd he pick? He picked the jail.
Wait. All right. For everybody listening, we're going to correct that. Because I for a long time was under the same impression as you were. And I started digging. Michael Jordan happens to share the same exact name with another Michael Jordan, and I believe he's from Kentucky, who actually was the one that opened the jail. Yeah.
Sorry, MJ.
I used to argue with LeBron fans about that all the time.
Okay, good. Now
I know. And I was like, because I'm a Jordan guy. I grew up in Jordan. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be 50 years fucking old this year.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's
good to know.
No, for sure. We got to share. See, what people don't understand, and I'm going to say this really quickly. If I don't know something, I'm cool with that. And if you can teach me, I'm cool with that. And I would appreciate if you was like, hey, listen, this is this. Yo, you know what? I learned something.
Yes, sir.
And we should all be of that mindset. Not, oh, I know better than you. I'm smarter than you. It's like if you're stuck in darkness, right? Wherever, a cave, wherever, a room, and I have a torch and you're my friend, or I consider you somebody that I care about, why am I going to go, yo, come out here, man. Pero no puedo ver. I can't see anything. Ah, stop complaining. Just come out here. No. Let me go to you with my torch and light your way the fuck out.
Yes, sir.
And that's what it means to be part of the human family.
Yes, sir.
Having that empathy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. And also what I like about what you just did is it takes more love to correct somebody than it does to make them look stupid. Like to leave me out here thinking something that's not true. You care more about your following and your fan base to be factual, which is hard to do. So I respect that and I appreciate you doing that.
No, of course. And as an MJ fan, and I don't hate LeBron. I respect him. I just don't respect what he does on the basketball court. That's just me. So let's shift gears. Originally, where were you born and raised in Brooklyn?
So we were born, I was born between the ages of like 0 and 6. I lived in Kings Highway. And then, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, by Kings Highway.
Okay.
But I don't have too much memory from that.
Okay.
And then we came here to Sunset where my aunt was. Uh-huh. My father and mother would work. My aunt would watch me. I went to PS 94 for a few years. Like, I'm local. Like, I was on 50th. I went there. So I went to kindergarten and first grade. And then we moved down to like where Borough Park is.
Okay, BP.
And then we've just been there forever.
So you're in Borough Park now?
Yeah, I'm there now. And yeah, man, but Sunset still is a part of my, upbringing. And if your anyone journey. Asks me, I'm going to just be like, I'm from Sunset. Because it depends, actually. If someone asks me in terms of like looking for an appraisal for the house, I'm going to be like, we live in Borough Park because it's more expensive, right? Yeah. But if someone's asking me like, are you local? I'll be like, yeah, of course. I live in Sunset Park.
So let me ask you, the education, I want to touch upon that because I think it's highly important. It's something that we've always stressed from the start of the show. I've always made it a point to make sure that people understand that they should try to educate themselves, whether it's getting letters after your name or just yourself, enriching yourself in some way, shape, or form is direly important. And now that I hear that you have these letters behind your name, what was the spark that led you in that direction?
So it kind of goes back to that whole Harry Potter trying to figure out who I am moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like I lived two lives, right? I had this fake at the moment persona that I tried to like put out there, this tough guy, this like a fight, I'm not scared of nothing. And, I ended up getting arrested a few times. And then one of the biggest moments I remember was I was 22.
Mm-hmm.
My father was paying for school, my undergrad, and I'm with a rough group of individuals. So I know these guys, and I'm like, yo, you got any drugs on you? Just tell me, man, because I don't want to get in the car. We get stopped. I lose my license. Blah, blah, blah. The guys are like, nah, we good. We get stopped right here on 50th and 6th. I'll never forget. Cops search the car and find cocaine in the car.
There's
five of us in the car. There's one bag, supposedly. I don't even know what they found. And now we're all going downtown. All five of us.
Nobody wanted to cop.
It's funny you ask that because the one kid, shout out to Adam Cruz. You heard the Matrix. The one fucking kid that was going to take the charge was 14 years old. He had more balls. And I'll say it again, more balls than anybody I ever met in that circle. He was willing to take the charge for us because he knew how hard I went to school. So fast forward, we go down to the precinct. And in that moment, I said, yo, God, if you get me out of this, I will change my life around. And then God is good. What happens? Remember I told you there was five of us, right?
Yeah.
It's a true story. 72nd precinct. If you don't believe me, go down.
72.
Good old 72nd precinct. I told you I'm from the hood. So fast forward, though. We're in the cell. And I remember I said, God, if you're real, help me out, bro. Help me out. I'm very faithful. That's one thing about me. I'm crazy faithful. I'm stupid, but I'm crazy faithful. And I said, God, get me out of this. And maybe 30 minutes later. Okay, yeah. Cop comes in. He says, yo, there's five of you. Four of you can go. The one kid that has to stay, and it's fucked up that this happened, but the one kid that had to stay already had a warrant. So then they didn't want to file all that paperwork. They put the charge on him. All four of us walk free. And when that happened, I looked at the dudes and I said, yo, y'all supposed to be gangster? This is gangster. You letting one of the smartest dudes in your crew do time because y'all scared? Because it's your drugs? Because had it been under my own volition, like if I made the choice to be here, fuck it, we all doing time. I didn't make the choice. I asked you. So when I noticed that, it goes back to this illusion of who am I protecting?
Right.
When I'm in jail, and who's calling me? My mother, my sister trying to get me out.
Yeah.
Who's grinding? My pop. So that moment right there was huge. And that moment, I decided to stop fucking around. I took my school more serious. And then I went ahead and got another master's. And then I got to take another second to shout out my my current girlfriend, my queen.
Salute.
Miss Rios. I love her so much. Hell yeah. She said to me, I wouldn't date you if you weren't already in pursuit of your master's. So when she said that, I said,
wow.
I'm going to show you something. I went ahead and got two of them.
Oh, shit.
So now I'm like, what now? So it was that kind of woman in my life that pushed me. It was the decisions. It was the negative shit. It was the surgeries. I don't even know if we touched on these. I had eight of these.
No, we getting there.
I had eight of these, brother.
Eight of them?
Eight of them. I was awake for six of them. So just imagine what it does to the consciousness of the individual.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, bro. Eight of them, bro. And you can see it's not a positive procedure, but we talking about tubes in my eye, all that.
Listen, just since you brought it up, and I know she's gonna kill me for saying this because she doesn't like awkward conversations. My wife, I was having a discussion with her on the way over here because she always asked me, like, I've been with her 26 years, so she's my right side. Amen. You know, who you gonna have and who is he in this? And I told her who you were and whatever. She went on the gram and she listened to you and she was like, oh, you guys sound the same. And then she's like, pero papi, ¿qué pasó a la ojo? And I was like, oh, babe, that's another, you know, part of the story. And she's like, ay, bendito. That doesn't look good for him. Like, it looked like painful. And I was like, well, there's a long story behind it, but
yes, sir.
But she's going to kill me. She's like, why you told him what?
Yeah, no, listen, the thing about me is I like open communication. Like,
sure.
Like, I think that's the only way we're going to get somewhere. And it's bigger than ego. And if my story could help somebody, shit, it helped me, like, you know what I mean? It made me get the LLC. It made me take this serious. I'm very grateful for it. I wouldn't change it.
So let's talk about that. Because there's tons of stories from Sunset Park 1. But just this part of, you know, Sunset Park. And I used to hang out in Borough Park heavy. As a matter of fact, I lived in Borough Park a little while with my dad. 42nd between 9th and 10th. And then I had, yeah, exactly.
Neighbors.
I had friends that were over there. I used to go party over there as a teenager. Brought me back to the same block as a teenager. I couldn't even believe it. But there are so many stories of people who have lost their lives, you know, fights, this, that have gone on in this neighborhood. What is it that you're in the middle of that causes this to happen to you? Like,
see, and I'm happy you asked it that way because it wasn't like a lot of us sit back and be like, oh, this shit was random. It wasn't random. I chose to be with a stupid group of people. Nothing in terms of intelligence. When I say stupid, I mean decision making.
Right.
And we invested our time unintelligently. So that night, fast forward, I got to go on back. Like, the girl I was with at the time, she was deeply religious and she tried to warn me. She was like, yo, these blocks are staticky. She's right. Like, there's beef going on right now on 55th and 4th. This is back in the day. She's like, yo, the Bloods is out there. And I'm like, yeah, get out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. Fast forward, we go down 48th between 6th and 7th across the street from that church, St. Agatha's, all
yeah.
that. Running around with these dudes. One dude thought he knew them. He said, what up? These guys took it as what up, like confrontation, instead of what up, like how are you? A couple of seconds later, grown-ass man is chasing us down the block. I get hit in the eye, bottles being thrown. I ran. And that was another pivotal moment in my life because the same kids that caused it would have, and I wasn't even cool with them. That's the crazy shit. I knew them. We weren't even like, I wouldn't die for them.
Right.
Gone. So the dudes that start the fucking problem are the first ones down the block. My man, Steven, who I just so happened to marry him about a month ago, not me and him, but I married and officiated his wedding.
I picked it up.
Because I'm a reverend too.
Dude. Are you Mexican, Jamaican? You got like 20 jobs. What's going on?
We grinding out here.
There you go.
So he came back for me. And then that's when I was like, all right, you got to invest in the people that invest for you.
Yeah, for sure.
So I started changing, but that's pretty much what it was. It was bad decision, wrong place, wrong time. I should have been home. I should have been studying for my SATs.
Oh, wow.
And instead I wanted, that's how, we talking about high school, bro. Like, I was a baby, bro. And it changed my life, but it also helped me. So it put me on this path. Had it not been for that, me and you would not be talking.
Oh, wow. It's crazy because people were getting killed even before high school.
Yes, sir.
You know, I grew up in the, I moved to 61st Street, Jesus, on the cusp of 1980, I believe. Yeah. So I have been there ever since. Or five, let me see, seven. No, in Butte. I was there before 80. So late 70s, early 80s, I got to see all that on being on the block. The dirty ones were there, blah, mm-hmm. blah, 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 whatever. But people were, had been getting killed and drug overdoses. You know, I knew somebody that was in the sixth grade that was hooked on heroin. You know, all that to say, these decisions that we make and the lessons that we don't learn, those are the people that you probably end up working around at that time in your life. Those young boys in jail, that's exactly where they're headed, right? And now you have this experience and it sets off something in you that brings about the change, the necessary change. How does life start to move as soon as you start walking in your purpose?
Hey, man, that's a great question. Brother, you ask some profound-ass questions. Master. God bless you, man. But it's funny because it started with a book. I tell people all the time, you can't live different reading the same content. Like, you surround yourself with the same material, you're going to be this person. Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening is I started getting some spiritual books in my mind because mm-hmm. of the depression, because I lost my eye. And then, you know, fast forward when I was telling my friends at the time, I was 19. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm going through this. And I remember my man, we're not friends no more, but I still got love for him. You know what he said to me? He said, oh, I'm only 19. You a pussy. He said, deal with it. He said, everybody goes through shit. Mm-hmm. And like, I know in his moment, he was trying to be like motivational, mm-hmm. but that shit killed me. Because I was in the moment of weakness. Remember I told you, I thought I was tough. I'm actually showing weakness now.
Yeah.
And then you attack that. So that got me to thinking like, yo, we don't even in our own communities help each other. I'm like, what if I need therapy? What if I'm suicidal? What if I'm gonna kill myself right now? And y'all motherfuckers think this shit is a game. Y'all joking, but they didn't understand. Mm-hmm. So I started going down that route. I could go left or I could go right, and I decided to read. I'm like, let me try this before I give up all hope and get into some serious drugs and whatever. I was getting into graffiti too. Mm. So one thing I'll say is that when I was sad, and hopefully this can help somebody, you're going to recognize that when you're more sad, you're more likely to take on riskier behaviors, graffiti, crime. And graffiti starts small until you get arrested. Now you got a fucking felony. Now what? Now you're a fucking felon for the rest of your life. So fast forward, let's go back to the materials. I started consuming nothing but self-help. I read self-help. I am like, if you think the masses, and I mean this humbly, is impressive. Mm-hmm. If I had to talk, I have a self-help fucking doctorate, because I've been reading this shit since I was 18. I'm 33. That's 15 years of just absorbing this kind of content. This is the byproduct of 15 years of content. I don't listen to content that's not something I'm looking for. If I'm not interested in it, I'm not looking at it. Remember what we said about celebrities?
Yeah.
I don't ingest it. If it's not doing nothing for me, I'm not ingesting it. Even my own friend's content. If it's stupid, I'll like it. I'll be like, yeah, this is cool, but I'm not going to ingest it. I'm not going to add it into my consciousness. So to answer your question, The Power of Now, huge book, and The Secret, which taught me that my thinking is what creates my reality. Shout out to Ron LeBron. You feel me?
Yeah. And see, this is a beautiful thing, because I think you're probably maybe the second person that's been on the show that has talked about these books. We had an author on in the past, and he was bringing it up, not in the vein that you are. You know, you're really giving the message of how impactful it was on your life. And the amazing thing is that a lot of people don't read nowadays.
Yes, sir.
And you also mentioned Barnes and Nobles. My daughter happens to be a manager. She eats books, literally. Like, she can read two and three, you know, at the same time. And I think that's very helpful to people, which we don't do. Sorry. You know, kids don't write cursive. I bet you they probably don't even know, like, you know, basic math skills, like counting change and stuff like that. And it brings me back to our overall direction or point where we were going before. Do you think that teaching people, young people, forms of meditation and exercise, would that start to change the direction of maybe kids that are in the hood that are wrapped up in gang life and drugs and, you know, so on and so forth?
100%. If I had to put my life on it, there's like two avenues. Like, if I had to like if something happened to me today, mm-hmm. and I said, yo, if y'all inspired by us, Mr. A, the Set Podcast, Mindful Wizard, what I would ask you to do is continue these two things. Teach mindfulness, that's half one. Teach financial literacy.
Mm.
That right there. That right there. I'm telling you, because I'll tell you another story. I like stories. I'm an author as well. I wrote two books.
Okay.
So I got, thank God, right? I got one about the law of attraction already out.
Okay.
If y'all link in bio. And then I got another one dropping in September that I was actually contracted to write by a professional company. So I'm big into books, man.
Nice.
I write my future, man. It's the only way. But I want to do that for young men and women. So when you learn mindfulness, you learn who you are, your truthful self. You don't put on that fake persona that I was trying to put on. So life is funny. God knows I'm hard-headed. So I had to have a physical reminder every single day, because if not, I can easily go back to this illusion, flashy, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And now the core of Steven Rivera, Mindful Wizard, is truthful, authentic. So going back to answering your question, mindfulness, it's like I see it as a plane and it can't function without each other. So wing one, mindfulness, self-awareness. Wing two, financial literacy. Because if you know how to make money, you know what to do with it. We know how to reinvest it back into our communities. That's why conversations like this are dangerous. I'll tell you another quick story. When I went down to Borough Park, 13th Avenue, I went into an investor's bank. I wanted to change my life. And I said, you know, how much is it to invest? And this man laughed in my face. The banker said to me, if you don't have $10,000, why are we even having a conversation? And at that moment, I didn't have 10 grand, but it motivated me.
Right.
Now I go back over there and I'll be like, now what? Yeah, let's invest 10 grand. But I don't need him, because he's taught me in his own dickhead way, has taught me to do it myself.
Right.
So financial literacy is freedom, stock, property. And then the flip side of that is the mindfulness to balance it out.
Right.
So those two combined will make you unstoppable.
Mm. So let's talk a little bit about faith. Especially in this moment in this world, I myself, you know, being raised in a Catholic home, my mother was heavy. I was confirmed, but after I was confirmed, I had a very good brother who's still in my life to this day, who is almost a minister himself. This gentleman knows the word in and out, and he's an amazing brother to have. He's the one who brought me to the Christian church, and I spent time there. And he still reminds me that, you know, God has a hand in my life, and I need to start listening more. But in this, and I say all that to say that right now in this moment, do you feel like people of faith are actually in this country, actually in America, do you feel like people who follow the faith, and I'm speaking to, you know, I don't want to say Catholic or Christian. I want to just say followers who follow Jesus, who believe in Jesus and believe in, you know, Father God. Do you believe that the people of this country in America are actually being taught and or led correctly from that faith?
It's a big question. I would start by saying that everybody's relationship with God is an individual process, right?
Right.
And we have to learn who we are to get to what we would call that relationship with God. But I would say that I think there's people that take the word and misuse it. So if to answer your question in short version, I would say yes. I think those that are in positions of power may mean well, but then there's also been so many things removed. Like we can start by asking about the Ethiopian Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people that are self-professed Christians don't even know that there's a Ethiopian Bible. There's a book of Enoch that's been removed.
Right.
You know, so there's so many books and it gets to this question, like, why? What are you hiding from the people? So what I do, and I know it's not about me, but I want to kind of bring it back to my relationship with God, is because I've struggled a lot. Like, what is God? What do I need? Like, what is it?
Right.
And what I've learned to do is kind of separate my meditation from my religious practices. Every morning I wake up, I pray to God, you know?
Right.
I've built a relationship with the energy that we would call Jesus Christ. I love that energy. Like, it's easy for me to be like, oh, Jesus is right here and I'm with Jesus. But what does that look like? Right. Like a lot of people say I'm Christian or whatever they want to profess to be. But then you go ahead and you're doing something wrong and you know it's wrong and you're ignoring that. And I think the more we do that, the more we are less likely to get closer to what I would call the source energy, which is God.
Right.
And to me, Jesus manifests itself as God as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on how you understand that energy. Right. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense.
It's an interesting struggle that I've had for years. Like God, and what can I do to get better with God, and am I working for God and all that? So
I think that in this moment, in this conversation, people understand faith to be a lot of different things. It's different for everybody. Some people think they need to go to a building. Some people understand that the relationship or the faith that they hold is supposed to be theirs and theirs only. And I think that's the problem with a lot of people today, because they want to club other people in the head with the faith and all my beliefs. And, you know, it's all a judgment game, you know, and control. I happen to have grown to a point where I believe, and I'll probably get flack for it, that I'm God. And the reason why I say that is because, speaking to the energy, I've been endowed and created, right? And this energy that powers me, my soul, has been given to me. And I kind of feel that what everybody understands in this faith is misunderstood. And we put our faith in men who are weak of the flesh, right? And we have to stop doing that. But I am the one who, like you yourself said, you separate yourself from doing these things or being caught up in this world. So that fight or that struggle or that walk is that walk of good and evil and giving into what you want, your worldly desires and your flesh and your this. And you are the God of your whole surrounding. Yes, sir. And as long as you come from the place of love, you are walking the path that you're supposed to walk, because it'll keep you in check. Every time you go to do something different, you're going to go, that voice is going to tell you.
Turn this way, look this way.
Exactly.
But, you know, I like what you said, because we got to develop that within ourselves to then hear the voice. We've drowned out that voice. So you can call it God or see, like, even what you said to a conventional Christian, that's blasphemy.
Yeah,
right?
Supremely.
But to a thinker, like, I think. Mm-hmm. I think we all have divinity in us. Now, the question is, how do we use it? Now, let's take it back. And I'm sorry if I cut you
No,
off.
No.
Let's take it back a step further in the Hindu religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm into this kind of reading because I like to read. So in Hinduism, there's something called the Leela, which is the play. And if you get to know who you are, there's the Maya, M-A-Y-A. And mm-hmm. that basically translates to the illusion. Once you clear the fog or the illusion, then you see the divinity in yourself and in everything around you.
Right.
And then we'll create a life where I could sit here and say I'm Christian and still do God's work while still recognizing the divinity in me and the divinity within you. I don't think, to say this in a nice way, is like, if God was real, I don't think God wants us to be divisive. I don't think it's
no.
This religion makes more sense than this one. I just think we all going in the same path.
Right.
And, you know, at the deepest levels, you become self-aware. You can kind of discipline yourself. Like, mm-hmm. it's Friday night. Brother, we could be out partying, but we build it.
Exactly.
Right? And that's why I don't associate with the people of my age group, because a lot of them rather drink. And don't get me wrong, I like drinking.
Yeah.
But I like business first.
Yeah, for sure. You're speaking to another bigger point. We as men have lost their way. We do not stand on our principle or our commitment anymore. And I'm not talking about this just happened overnight. This has been a process. But it's been the work of the world around us, putting us in that position. But we've given, a lot of us have given up. You know, you look out into the world, you can see it every day. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's also a part of, you see it. You yourself was in, you could tell this is sunset.
Y'all here, this is real sounds. Y'all better appreciate that, man.
We outside. You've seen it yourself. Those young people, 7 years old in jail. That is a man who had a child with a woman and left them to the wolves. Yes, no, please.
Oh, you brothers, like, did you work with me in the jails? So this conspiracy stuff started early, because they treated me as a teacher, but they didn't know that a humble teacher could access a lot of different content. And I'm, you know, a little nosy. I click around. I'm a little smart with computers. So I started clicking around. I got to the social work section. Mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to look at it. But nobody stopped me. So I said, okay.
Throw me a deal.
Why not? You got to know what you're doing.
That's right.
Oh, we go there. So yeah. I click. I look into the demographics. And I see that 90% if I'm lying, I'm dying right now. 90% of individuals incarcerated in New York City as youth do not live with their father. 90 fucking percent. I'm going to say it again. 90% of those children in my institution do not live with a male role model.
What is the percentages? Well, not the percentages. What is the dominant percentages of race?
It's usually, if I had to break it down by number, I would go 70% black, 30% or 25% Spanish, and then 5% other. So white, Chinese, European, whatever you want to consider that. But about 70, and if you want to just call it what it is, 99% minorities, right? So it's us. It's us in the jails.
All right. So earlier had spoken about poverty being the supreme vehicle for crime. Yes, sir. And if you look out into our communities, especially now, let's talk about Sunset. This neighborhood looks different. Wait, and especially to somebody like me who's about to turn 50, right? I've been in this neighborhood. You ever heard of a chicken place called Cuckoo Mike's?
Nah.
Exactly. On 39th and 5th Avenue, right on the corner. Right along 5th, on the corner, was a chicken spot called Cuckoo Mike's. Okay? That place is no longer with us. And the reason why I'm pointing it out is because many people, when I say the name Cuckoo Mike's, understands exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. But this neighborhood has been overrun, and it hasn't been with our people, because there's million-dollar condos going up along 4th Avenue, and they're buying out all the houses over here.
Yes, sir.
And that access is not by us. Why is that? Well, we're the ones that are driven into poverty. It's a reality. You know, whether you like to face that reality or not is something totally different. That whole conversation again of, oh, if I did it, why can't you? Mm-hmm. Circumstances are different for everybody. 100%. You know what I'm saying? So now my overall point is the system is designed for us to fail.
Yes, sir.
We have a different kind of race to run. But just by your sharing of the demographics of the jail tells a story. You got all of us, our young people, crowding up the jails, right? We're never going to climb out of that hole. Unless what? Unless we take it back. Unless the men start standing up. But if you look out into society, who's talking about that? Who's really taking people to task? Or trying to institute change in the criminal justice system. And I don't mean just let people go when they do crime. I'm talking about real, what do they call that? Not reform, but correction. So I guess this is the best way I could put it.
See, it's interesting because a person like me, I don't hang out that much.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care about looking stupid. That's why I go out and do the conspiracy videos. Because even if I got one person to ask a question, right now I'm not going to conspiracy route, but I also say that I agree that all this has been taken, and I agree that there are ways of changing it. But like, even with me, I'll give you another personal anecdote. I was in college, probably my first master's. Mm-hmm. I remember telling at the time he was the superintendent of D79 schools.
Ooh.
What that means is that he runs the jail schools, if you want to call him that. Mm-hmm. I went to him. Mm-hmm. I said, brother, I'm about to start a business. I don't know when. I got the idea. I don't got the money, but I know it's going to change lives. I said, I'll do it for your jails for free. We could do a pilot study. Just let me come in with you. I don't care about your protection. I don't need your protection. I'm not asking for that. If I get hurt, it's fine. Let me do 30 minutes of meditation. Let's see what we could do. He laughed in my face. He says, never going to work. 3 years later, every single school in the Department of Education is mandated to have somebody teaching the shit I'm talking about right now. I was 5 years ahead of my time. He laughed in my face. So real change is going to take open-mindedness, and it's going to need collaborations from multiple generations, because I'm learning from you, and I hope you're learning from me.
Oh, definitely.
It's not ego. If we're both on the same page, we can really help. But they don't get it. No. And I'm going to say one more thing, because it just bothers me, because it brings me back.
Please.
I was in college, right? We my first master's was in kinesiology, phys ed, right? I wanted to be a phys ed teacher because I thought it was easy. And we sitting there. I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I don't got to lie.
It is what it is.
It's the truth, guys.
Yes, sir.
I thought it was going to be easy. It is what it is. And then I look around and I remember one guy saying, why don't we just pass all the special ed kids so that we don't got to deal with them? And I swear to God, I almost got kicked out the school. I snapped. I turned around. I'm like, so what you going to do when it's 3 a.m? They don't got no jobs and they're going to rob you. Because it's our communities you're releasing these kids into. Yep. My mom got to walk down these streets. You feel me? Your son, us, I got to go back down the block. I got to walk around. So if this is unsafe, you're making my neighborhoods unsafe. And I told him that. The professor got mad, but I said what I said. They almost had to remove me. I was like, I'm not eating that. That's disgusting. It's disrespectful. It's stupid. It's lazy. Like, you're going to pass them damn kids. They're either going to pass because they earned it or you're going to fail them. But you're not going to just pass these kids along because this is how these communities get this way.
I want to go back to speaking to incarceration and this whole thing about yoga and meditation, even more so, right? So recently, when we got in contact with each other, I immediately told my wife, I was like, yo, listen, you know, this gentleman teaches meditation and yoga and Tai Chi. And she immediately lit up because I had my stroke, April 7th. Look, thank God I was home. Thank God. I think if I wasn't home, I wouldn't be here. But, when I told her that she lit up, she was like, there's a mutual friend of ours who had a drinking problem. I'll just say that he had a drinking problem. He started meditating. Now, mind you, this person has had this issue 20, 30 years. She's like, the differences in his personality. Yeah. She's like, it's like night and day. I can't believe it. She's like, go and speak to this gentleman. And I say all that to say, my wife has been wrong a lot of the times.
You're going to sleep on the couch tonight. Yeah. Yeah.
Ya tai. Yeah, you done. But what I've come to understand as a man and as a husband of this woman is when my woman says something purposefully and when she's coming from the right place that she needs to, because she's speaking to my life or she's speaking life to me, I listen. Because that's the wife's job, to be my helper. And ladies, don't start getting offended. I don't mean subservient. I mean, she fulfills her role as my partner. She's my helper and she's trying to help me. So when she says this to me, I listen to her. Now, in the process of that, this is the point. In the process of that, there's a rapper. And since my stroke, my memory, shit. There's this rapper from Louisiana. And the funny thing is, I come to find out he's half Puerto Rican. He's half Puerto Rican, half Moreno. And he has a song. His name is Kevin Gates.
Oh, I know Kevin Gates.
Okay. So Kevin Gates, I wasn't big on his music for, you know, whatever. But as a personality, listening to him talk, I like him. And as of lately, I've been hearing his music and I'm like, wow, this guy he knows what the fuck he's doing. He knows artistically what he's doing to make his money. And I come to find out that he discovered yoga in jail. And he says himself, it changed his life. You know, and when I hear him speak, and I put the two together, I see the connection. You know, meditation, yoga, and just keeping a positive vibe about yourself and keeping away from the shit. That's how I'll put it. So, overall, where do we need to go to finally bring our young folk to a place to sort of, quote unquote, recenter them? Like, how do we make that happen? Like, what bridges have to be burned in order for that to happen?
It's a great question. And I would also recognize that just the simple act of breathing and connecting that to your body can help you strengthen the gap between thought and response. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So imagine just teaching a 5-year-old young person that instead of getting mad when they want that toy, all they got to do is take a deep breath. And when the parents see that they're calm, they'll reward them with the toy. That's the power of meditation. It gives a gap in thinking. Mm-hmm. Yoga derived from a lot of ancient Indian practices. That's why I brought up the Sanskrit and all that. Like, there's a reason that you're doing these physical postures with a breath exercise. Like, I don't know if you'll notice, there's moments where I'm listening to you and I'm taking a deep breath because it's grounding. So I can actually listen to you and not worry about all the other stuff. But to answer your question, I have a plan. Me personally, I teach one-on-one sessions, and then I also teach group sessions to youth and to adults, all the way down to four-year-olds. So like anybody. But if anyone would want to, like, anyone listening in the, like, I would say political space with the power to actually make change, I would say start with a few schools in your district. Implement daily meditation. 10 minutes in the morning, like, you know, before you start teaching, 10 minutes at the end of the day. Those 20 minutes will, I promise you, bring down so many issues in your school. The kids will come in calmer and they'll leave calmer. Maybe even if you want to do some energetic, like, physical piece, 10 minutes meditation in the morning, 15-minute Tai Chi right before lunch. You'll be hungry. Last 10 minutes of the day, you do a meditation. That's a 25-minute program. I guarantee you suspensions will go down. Dude, I work in D75. There is every single mental health disability you could think about, from schizophrenic to PTSD to children that have been raped repeatedly. I work with these children, brother, and they do not hurt me. You see my size. I'm 5'7". I've worked in a jail. Imagine what those kids look like. They're huge. They have not touched me. And it's not because I'm super powerful. It's because of the way I interact with them.
Right.
And it goes back to my discipline of mindfulness, breathing, and that. So to put all that information in a nutshell, what I would say, going back, I would do a 10-minute morning, a 15-minute physical Tai Chi exercise or yoga, whatever the kids like, and then another 10 minutes of just like a decompressing for the day. And that should be embedded in every single school. I'm talking about, make it bigger than America and all over the world. And we will see lowering of depression. We will see less people with breathing problems. We will see stroke survivors go up. This is coming from the American Heart Association. If you do Tai Chi, you have a 70% recovery rate versus those that stay stagnant. Tai Chi will change your life. I'm telling you. And I'm not getting paid to tell you this. Telling you because I want you to do it. So for those of you that try it, recognize it, you'll learn it. If you want me to help you, I got a 1-week course, I got a 4-week course, and I'm developing a 12-week course.
Oh, wow.
So we out here, man.
Wow. You know, instantly, the two cities I think of when we're talking about meditation and yoga, I immediately think of Baltimore and I think of LA.
Yes, sir.
Baltimore, my God. Baltimore is a bad place. There's no other way to speak about it. I think that'll just help you understand. That should just be about enough to encompass it. And for my out West people, especially our viewers on Social Nostra, you know, we got a heavy West Coast presence. They understand what the gang life is. They've lived around it their whole lives. Those two communities would be done a bout of justice if they can, like, meditate and do some yoga. And it doesn't, you know, we're saying this, and people immediately think, you know, soft. And it's not about that. You know what I'm saying? Because no matter what, when the moment comes and you have to bear down on something, it's going to be what it is no matter what. Please do.
I had a smile when you said that because there's a Zen principle in this, if I may, right? There's monks.
Right.
The monks are not soft. They will knock out, I would say, 9 out of 10 people that think they're street fighters. That's number one. These people train.
Right.
They are disciplined. They control their breath. Besides that, though, there's a quote that stands out. The guy says, now, I don't know where it's from, but I know it's a Zen principle that I would like to share with the listeners. He says, I'd rather be a gardener. So the principle is, would you rather be a gardener at war or a warrior in a garden?
Yeah.
I'd rather be a warrior in a garden.
Yeah.
I don't have to hurt anything. But if and when I do, I'm prepared.
Yeah, I'm prepared.
And that's the brilliance of Tai Chi, because it's also a martial art.
Yeah.
But people don't get that. And it's also a medicine. It comes from something called Qigong.
Okay.
Well, we'll save that for episode 2.
You know what? We're going to close out the show with that one right there, because that was perfect. Thank you. I want to thank my guest, the Mindful Wizard, for coming in and giving us his time. I know there's a there's more conversations we're going to be having because there's so much that we left on the table. And just hold on to it because I may be going out after this conversation. I may be going out into the field and profiling him in another way. I know people have been watching the show. You saw my profile of Mr. Esteban Quiñones and his art and his business. We have another profile that's happening tomorrow that'll be released at a later time. And next week, we're going to a place called Happy Buds. It's a Black-owned cannabis business in downtown Brooklyn. So I'll be releasing that profile probably at the end of the month. But I think the Mindful Wizard is going to get a profile as well, so you'll be seeing more of him in a different way. And I just, again, I want to thank him for coming on the show, giving us his time. Brother, anything you got going on? Is there anything that people should look out for? Tell them where to find you, if they want to contact you, whatever you want to let your socials out. Now's the time.
Thank you, brother. Number one, I got to thank you for the opportunity. This has been mad fun, bro. I would do it again.
Of course.
Great conversationalist. He's a dope vibe, too, so I'm blessed.
Yes, sir.
For those of you that want to stay in touch with me, I'm at Mindful Wizard, both on TikTok and Instagram. I got a podcast. It's called Search for Consciousness. We're in 61 countries. And that's anchor.fm/mindfulwizard. Anchor spelled normally, .fm/mindfulwizard. And lastly, if you want to purchase my first book, it's called Musical Clues. It's a look at the law of attraction through the lens of hip hop. So if you're a rap fan, hip hop fan, or law of attraction, spirituality fan, this is right up your alley. For those of you trying to learn about higher level thinking, it's right up your stream. And then later in September, God willing, we're going to have that big project released. And if everything works out, you'll see my name in a Target and a Barnes & Noble. So we went from the beginning all the way up to in a Barnes & Noble. And that's where I'm at.
Well, as always, you can find us on Social Nostra, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Make sure, this is what I'm going to say. The first person to go to our YouTube page, The Set 6145, subscribe, send me an email, MrA@thesets6145. Once you subscribe, I'm going to send you a copy of Musical Notes by the Mindful Wizard. All right. And we're going to close it out with that one. All right. Mindful Wizard, everybody, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll be back next week with another one. All right. We'll be seeing you soon.